Welcome to the Fearless Future Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine McCourt, transformational life and business coach. Today, I'm speaking with Michelle Precourt, who is the founder and principal consultant at Mindful HR Services. She draws on her 15 plus years of human resources and operations experience to operate her HR consultancy. This corporate experience, coupled with training in yoga and meditation, provides small to medium businesses with a holistic approach to building healthier, more balanced teams through HR structure, workplace wellness, and team building activities, creating sustainable workplace cultures. All right, so really excited to have you on the show today, Michelle. And as you know, I've asked you to come on because there are a lot of things going on right now within organizations in terms of them trying to find the best foot forward, how to retain staff, how to build teams that are, you know, energized and feeling motivated. Also, how do you hire the right staff? So I thought it would be great timing to have you on today and share some insights from an HR perspective. So thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. And by the way, I don't have all the answers, so I just want to be really clear about that before we jump in.
You don't have the magic eight ball.
I don't. I think I have a few ideas, that's for sure. But it's a really tough world of work these days, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here and can share whatever insight that you can. And I'm curious to know, like, you obviously worked in HR throughout your career and how you made that transition or what made you make that transition into becoming an HR consultant. So on your own and not working under one organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I did work in HR for a long time, about 15 years in HR and operations and in highly unionized environments. And not unlike other organizations, quite often high tension, high stress. And while at this time I was living in Ottawa, and I am a yoga practitioner, and I decided to expand my personal practice and take my 200-hour yoga teacher training. And that was in 2017. And then I followed that with meditation training in 2018. And shortly thereafter, maybe it was an epiphany moment. I'm not sure what it was, but I decided to quit my job. I just thought, you know what? I am more than my work. And I didn't really have a plan, but I thought, you know what? I'll figure it out. And all along, you know, in these high stress, high tension environments, yoga and meditation was a way to help me to decompress. And I thought, how great would it be if I could blend these two passions, human resources, and some of the, I'll call it calming philosophies from yoga and meditation. And this is how Mindful HR Services came to be. So now my focus is on supporting organizations to create some structures and systems for greater workplace balance. And I know that that's really hard. Even with the structures in place, it's really hard. But ultimately, it's about creating healthier humans and healthier teams for sustainable workplace cultures. And work stressors are real and they're not going away. You know, yoga and meditation doesn't make those things go away, but it can help soften and round the edges a little bit. And all of this is in support of retention of talent, which is a really big issue these days.
Yeah. And I just like the way that you recognize that there's this need from being in HR yourself about that mindful piece. And like you say, you know, work is not necessarily going to completely do a 180 and change when you apply these tools, but they definitely give you something to default to when you are in a high stress or high intense situations at work and looking for a bit of relief or balance. So just in saying about this retention, I mean, we've all heard the pandemic has brought on a lot of trends and including this thing that we call the Great Resignation. It's certainly something that's been exacerbated over even the last year. So specifically in 2022, we're really starting to see sort of the repercussion of what this is doing. So can you talk to us and tell us a bit about what you're experiencing in the work that you're doing and around maybe why this is actually occurring? And maybe what are some of the key areas leaders can focus on to help minimize this threat?
Yeah, what I wonder about is if there's more folks having that sort of epiphany moment that I had a few years ago, and it's about what's important. I also just read a stat, and I don't have it in front of me, but I don't think this is a big surprise that Canadians are just, frankly, we're all getting older, right? So There's a large component of folks who are in that mid-50s to late-50s. And way back when, you worked until you were 65, and then you quit your job and you retired. And now there's more gig workers and hybrid formats. A lot more people are looking for part-time so that they can do other fun stuff. You know, Work certainly pays the bills, and we need that to sustain the life that we want to live. But I also think that people are finding more creative ways. And so what I would say to leaders is open up a dialogue about what's important. If someone comes to you and says, I think I'm going to quit, is there something else that's going on that has nothing to do with the workplace? Well, that's, you know, That's something that the leader can't change, but it would a leave of absence be okay? Or would an augmentation to hours of work, or maybe there's a struggle with values alignments and personal values versus workplace values. I recently heard of someone who was a high C-suite level individual who just quit completely. And that type of talent is really hard to get back. Maybe there were those discussions and that person quit anyway. So I don't know all the background, but, you know, what's the underlying motivating factors? Is it time off? Is it remote work? Is it they want to be on site and they can't be on site? Like, there's many different mitigating factors. And I think if leaders can open up that dialogue about what's important. And I also think they're going to have to really think differently from what the world of work. It's shifting. It continues to shift. So What's good for someone today may not be good tomorrow. And I know that that is really, really hard for people who are running business. And because it seems to be more of a candidate or an employee driven market these days. So, And I'm not sure when that pendulum is going to shift again. But right. I really think having the conversation to see what's happening under the survey to support.
Yeah. Something that's just coming up for me while you're saying this is, you know, I think we come from the old school. You say we're an older generation, or generations are getting older. There is about three different generations now within a workplace. Companies years ago, and now today still, they're built on structure, meaning that they found a formula that works. Meaning, there's no flex hours, everyone works 9 to 5, or there's expectations set. And so I wonder, like, from your perspective, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but I'm just thinking now when you were saying all this is like, maybe is it that organizations also are afraid to have those conversations because they'll have to start doing things from an individual level, not from a structural organizational level, meaning that if they let Lisa have flex hours, then everyone on her team is going to want these flex hours. Or if, you know, Sam wants to work 4 days a week, now they're like, everyone in the organization is going to want to work 4 days a week. I would think it's a hurdle for some of the older school, well-oiled running machines that are maybe more afraid to make that individual change versus looking at it from, you know, what can it actually still present to us, which is better retention. It'll cost them less because replacing people is costly, as we know.
Yeah, I do think that there's some organizations that are much more entrenched in traditional ways of working, you know, in office, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll take some time for those industries to change. Even if they will ever change, don't know, right? Can't predict the future. But even in HR, as an HR consultant, I can do my job remotely. 100%. It's non-issue. Yet there are some businesses who still want HR to be on site. And I'm like, well, if I can do it remotely, why can't your fully employed full-time HR official do it remotely?
Right.
And I know that there's more layers to that question, but there are just even some industries that I think could really be remote. And there's all kinds of political or just longstanding history that is going to take a long time to change. But what I am seeing, because I'm quite embedded in the HR community here in BC, there's a lot of, in particular in HR, who are looking for part-time, who are looking for remote, who want to work from home, who have these other things that also make money for them on the side. And so their career is part of who they are, but it's not all of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see where that goes, but poking around a little bit, some of those historically on-site full-time sectors are not shifting. They're just not.
Right. Yeah, I have some friends that work for organizations that seem modern and with the times, and they're on trend with, you know, wellness and health and balance in life and holistic healing and all that. And even some of these organizations, they're run by quite old school individuals that still, so they have this face of their brand, you know, meeting the trends of today. But behind the scenes, it's quite archaic in terms of how they're managing their people. So I find that quite interesting. So Michelle, can you share with us what is Mindful HR Services and how do you help organizations? What's really the bulk of what it is that you do?
Yeah, at the core, it's about creating healthier teams. And so we do that in a few different ways. Sometimes it's meeting with leadership to understand their pain points, and it might be something structural. It might be something foundational that they've missed along the way. Sometimes it's about bringing teams together to build trust. I think about, I think that's what it's called, but you know, at the foundation, it's about trust. So if the team doesn't trust, you're not going to gain any positive traction. Sometimes it's about having some inspirational conversations. So for example, right now I'm supporting a client with a summer this challenge for 8 weeks throughout July and August. Sometimes it's team building activities. There's a variety of different ways. And then sometimes it's about what I'll call traditional mindful meditation sessions, but it's shorter, right? I think employers are a bit concerned about taking too much time away from core focus. I totally understand that. But if someone can take 10 minutes away, you know, in addition to a couple of breaks throughout the day, in addition to a lunch break, they can take 10 minutes away to kind of sit in silence or sit in contemplation and sit mindfully in terms of what they need to get through the rest of their day. They're going to be sharper and snappier and just going to dive in with a little bit more energy. Mm-hmm. That's some of what I do at Mindful HR Services.
Nice. And if I asked you, like, what is your purpose? What would you say that is, or the purpose of Mindful HR Services?
It boils down to supporting leaders with the growth of whatever it is that they're trying to grow. So my purpose is to create healthier environments for long-term sustainable growth. So it's all around this idea of long-term and sustainability. And so I have a variety of ways to do that. Some of it is through some of the yogic and meditation philosophies. It's not all esoteric. You know, we don't sit around and chant.
Okay. Yeah, everyone takes to that.
So. Yeah, exactly. There are some business ways of really being mindful. And so it's through self-awareness. My purpose is to enhance self-awareness. I guess I would put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this self-awareness of what you need to get through this moment, to get through this day, to get through this week, and be the best you can be for the clients that you're serving.
Yeah, beautiful. So You know, there are a lot of people, as we've been talking about this great resignation, and I have friends myself, as well as family members, who are contemplating if they're maybe in the right role, in the right career, in the right organization, based on some of what they've seen around how the organization handled things through the pandemic. What would be your advice, if any, that you could share, or tips that you could share for individuals who are in that situation where they're contemplating a change from their job or their career, or wanting to shift out of an organization? What would you first say to them to really help them make the best decision that they could, or start making the best decisions for themselves?
It's a really good question. I think my advice would be to start with really reflecting on what's missing. You know, if you're not excited by your work anymore, what is missing? What does excite you? What drives you? And this high level of self-awareness and knowing what type of workplace is best. Because maybe there's something within the organization and you don't have to go, right? Maybe there's a leader misalignment. They could go to another team. And if they do have to go, like, let's say they don't actually trust the environment. We talked about that a minute ago. They don't trust the environment and they do need to leave, do your research and see if it's really greener on the other side, you know, do some informational interviews, whatever it is that you're looking for, ask questions around that. You know, of course, work-life balance comes to mind, but if that's what you're looking for, ask them about hours of work, ask them about, you know, what a typical day looks like, ask them about how their leaders support work-life balance, these types of things. And that's just one thing, but reflect on what's missing. Drive your self-awareness to a place where you know what it is that you need to feel fulfilled at work, and then go look for it.
Okay. And thinking about that, like, I'm someone who has always been a bit of a driver. I like to build things. I like to initiate things. What would you say to people, like, so if they assess that it's just these few little points that are not necessarily sitting right with them, or working in their job or their team, or like you say, it could be a leadership issue or whatever, like, how does someone go about initiating something without feeling like they're overstepping their boundaries in the organization, or that they're really trying to initiate change or initiate something? What would you say would be a good first step to try and start doing that?
Yeah, I think that first piece about that self-awareness and being really clear, because if you do go to your manager and you throw something like, I'm really unhappy in this job, likely they're going to say, well, what would make you happy? And if you don't have an answer, you're just going to be wasting everybody's time, right? So go into it with a clear understanding of what it is that you're looking for. I'll also say this, that quite frankly, there's some organizations where it's just not conducive to conversations like this. For example, if we were on a team, you're my manager, I could go talk to someone else about potential of working on their team, and that manager could then come and talk to you. And then, so then trust is gone, right? There's some organizations, Amazon is one, is where they're actually, it's a double-edged sword where internal attrition is really high. People bounce around all of the time. But because that's part of the culture, so that's the difficult part, is that people move around a lot. So they might be working on one team and then 12 to 18 months, they move to another team. That talent is lost, but it's still kept within the organization. And so where that's difficult for the team that they're leaving, but it's positive for that individual because they don't actually have to leave. Right. They can find something else embedded at Amazon. So size of organization is going to make a difference there as well, right? If you work for a company of 200 people, likely you're limited in where you could go.
Yeah. Okay. And then from an HR side or a leadership side, I think more and more organizations are opening up to the realization that external coaching for their team members or for their leaders, their executive team, is really valuable. And there's a lot more studies out there today just around how much external coaching or for their leaders and teams is impacting their performance overall. So can you speak a little bit about maybe if you're an HR individual or a leader in an organization who hasn't yet ventured the coaching opportunity, what are some of the things you can share from your perspective around why they should maybe look into coaching as an option to help with employee retention or employee performance?
Yeah, I use this term comfortably uncomfortable. And so that's what I would say to leaders is it's likely time to get a bit uncomfortable and be really intentional with their teams. And so what I mean by this is, and it's hard because client deliverables are always going to be there, but yes, having regular meetings with your team members and beyond work talk, right? This goes back to building trust that if, you know, I have a dog or a five-year-old or that I go hiking every weekend, whatever it might be, we can build some trust and rapport around that knowledge that I'm more than my work. So it starts with trust and interest. And this is also, you know, makes people feel valued when you might remember that I just did this 20-kilometer hike last weekend. And Michelle, how's your glutes feeling Monday morning, right? You know, yeah, things like that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so you build some rapport, but it really needs to be intentional. And it kind of goes back to the hi, how are you conversations that are really so surface and not really asking how are you. So spend some more time. Have some deeper conversations. Work that into the agenda, right? You could add 10 minutes to the meeting and just do a round table to find out how everyone's checking in. And maybe that's a moment for a mindful exercise or let's do 10 jumping jacks to energize the team, whatever the team needs there. And then once you start being really intentional and having these conversations and building trust, then you can shift to vulnerability. Because if I know that I can share something and it's not going to come back and bite me, then I'll be a little bit more vulnerable where I might be struggling in my work. And then that might highlight that I'm kind of thinking about leaving, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is to really emulate the behaviors that the workplace wants to cultivate. Mm-hmm. And it starts with leadership. Right. So,
yes,
whatever that might be, because if someone's looking for work-life balance and the leaders are always emailing and always texting and Slack and Teams and whatever it might be at all times of the day, and there are some environments where, you know, 24-hour operations, manufacturing, this type of thing, where there are people who need to do that work, that's mm-hmm. expected and required. But there's other roles that's really not. And so emulating the behaviors that you want to cultivate. And maybe that's something that leaders can look at to generate more trust. And again, goes back to creating sustainable workplace cultures.
I've had situations where we've had leaders in an organization who were, you know, maybe had at a leadership meeting, some leadership training. It was just, you know, this one time, one off situation. And then they come back to the office and they try to implement some of the things that they've learned. And it doesn't seem genuine. Mm-hmm. So like the leader who's wants to engage more with their staff, like you said, it's like, hey, Michelle, you just did this epic hike. Like, how's it going? And if that conversation piece doesn't come naturally for them, you can usually see through it and feel like the discomfort in the room. And I almost feel like that's, if you see any of your leaders doing that, I almost feel like that's a great starting point, is like this leader technically or probably needs a bit more support and guidance than just this one year, one off, you know, leadership meeting that happens. So I think, yeah, from like things that you're saying, it's one thing to apply some of the stuff that they learn, but make sure that that leader is really doing it from an authentic place too. So if organizations don't see that genuine side of it, then that's might be a good place to start looking at sort of more consistent consulting or coaching, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a big gap there in terms of regular support for leaders. So it's fine to say, Catherine, you need to meet with your 25 people once a month. Like, how do you manage that with everything else that's happening? And then what do those conversations look like? How do those conversations flow? Because they could be really stifled without some support. And so it might be group work. It might be one-on-one coaching. It might be, okay, let's role play this out a little bit. And what if I told you that, yeah, you know, I'm really struggling. How are you going to respond? Right.
Yeah.
So I do agree that one-off training, it may feel inspiring and may bring a bit of energy, but it definitely requires more than one meeting for leaders to really understand what the end result and what the goal is and how to move forward with this idea of building trust and vulnerability and creating sustainable workplace cultures.
Yeah. So Michelle, if there's something that you could leave us with around maybe two or three things that come to mind, that's just really part of your mission and that you think should be heard or shared, and hope that others are motivated or inspired by it, what would you say that big mission piece is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you also need to look at corporate values and what is the mission and vision of your organization. And don't lose sight of that, right? We're talking about all these things, but they need to be intertwined and interconnected. So work that into this work that you're trying to do with building your teams and building your trusts. And it might start with like a workshop around values and how does your team resonate with the values? And if they don't, well, let's have a conversation about that, because likely there's some issues with that, right? So it could start with something like that. And what that's also going to do is just open up, well, what are your values, right? What's important to you? And again, it's really being intentional. So I think that would be one of the things I would encourage leaders to do, is going back to this intention and purpose, and then aligning that with the organization's mission, vision, and values.
Okay. And on a last note here, what would be maybe a tip or two that you could share with the audience if they're looking to build some more self-awareness? What are some go-to tools that you have that might help people start building more awareness, whether it's personal or within the work that they're doing?
Yeah, building self-awareness. So I think that I say it this way, is that the mind is all over the place, right? The brain cultivates 50,000 thoughts a day, so many thoughts. Not all of them are true. Not all of them are helpful. But the body is present 100% of the time. If you hit your elbow, you're going to feel it, right? If you're hungry, your stomach's going to growl. So the body is really present. So notice, if you can pay a little bit more attention to what's happening in the body, you're likely going to recognize that when you are sitting with someone, working with someone who the relationship is very easy, the body's going to feel very loose. If you're working with someone who challenges you, there's something going to happen in the body. You might clench your jaw. You might have tightness in the shoulders or the gut or something like this. And so from that self-awareness, then you could go, okay, I'm going into this meeting with someone who challenges me. What can I do for myself? Yes, to prepare for the meeting and data and metrics and whatever it is that you're working on, but what can I do? What can they do for themselves to prepare? Might be having a glass of water. It might be some small body exercise. It might be going for a walk. It might be calling a friend. You know, what is it that you need to prepare for that? And that will help that conversation. It doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. But at least if you have this awareness, right? And so this is a lot of what I talk about in the workshops that I deliver, is seeing and sensing and feeling what's going on. And why am I uncomfortable with this? Do I trust this person? Do I not trust this person? Am I just nervous because they're a VP and I'm not? What else might be going on? So even something super small is just noticing how you are feeling. And then taking a step back and what do you need to do? How might you augment how you will interact with that person?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm a big believer that your body knows all and it doesn't lie. Yeah. It usually starts showing you signs way before you become aware of it. So great, great point. Michelle, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in your services for themselves or for their teams? How can they connect with you? And if you could maybe just describe who your ideal client is as well, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. MindfulHRServices.ca. So that's one of the ways. That's my website. I'm on LinkedIn regularly. So you can just look me up, Michelle Precourt. And if you're looking for something a little bit lighter, on Instagram, at Michelle Precourt, lots of pictures of trees and moss and different ways that I tune in with myself, share some of that. And lastly, I also have a few meditation recordings on Insight Timer. So you can also find me that way at Michelle Precourt. In terms of an ideal client, it's someone who recognizes the need for themselves and recognizes the difference between unbalanced and balanced, and that they want that same. They want their employees to feel and understand what balance is really about. So that's kind of an ideal client. It's generally someone who has gone through some sort of experience that it's like, whoa, that was just too much. Put me over the edge. I need to regroup and rebalance. And now that they're there, they want that same, that to cultivate that same energy within their team and within their organization.
Okay, beautiful. Well, I really appreciate having you on today, Michelle. Your insight is really helpful and useful. In general, there's a lot of people that say they're not defined by their jobs, but when you really consider, you know, we spend 80% of our lifetime at a job or at work doing things. So I think the work that you do is truly important. And I thank you for sharing all that you did today.
My pleasure being here. Thanks for having me, Catherine.
Thanks again for tuning in. And don't forget, new episodes drop each week. I'd love your support on this mission to intrigue and help others bound fearlessly into their future. If you enjoy the show, please share a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. How do you do this? Tap the three horizontal lines under the podcast cover image. In the pop-up menu, select Rate the Show. Tap the number of stars that you want to rate, then leave a comment. Hit save, and you're done. Thanks so much and have a fantastic week. The Fearless Future podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start, to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up. Choose the right equipment and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one to multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow links in my show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret tip for editing your podcast? Check out the Descript link that I've put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You get a transcript. You just have to edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out and have a fantastic week.